The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I'm your host, Matt B. Davis, and today, another great episode. I'm excited to bring you this one. My guest was sitting right behind me, well, theoretically right behind me, just a couple of weeks ago. It's Black-owned C-Bone. We're going to get to that in a minute. First, shout out today's sponsor, Finca da Filter. I drink their coffee literally every day, most of the times twice a day. Here at Finca da Filter, they are awesome. Go visit them in the Wild Heaven Brewery. Or visit them here at Create ATL. They've got an inside spot and an outside spot over here on the West End, Adair Park. It's called, listen, I love their coffee, but also have you checked out the pastry case? They've got Danish, they've got croissant, they've got empanadas. My son, big fan of the bean and cheese empanadas. Does he like the onion? Yeah, I think he likes the cheese and onion empanada better. And they've got some yummy bagels. I just had the jalapeno cheddar bagel today. Freaking delicious. Little kick. You know what I'm saying? Little kick in that jalapeno. Anyway, please check out Finca da Filter. They are amazing. Love the burritos. Love the baristas. Love the food. Love the drinks. FincaDaFilter.com. Today's episode, as you've seen, Black-owned C-Bone, we get into it. We're going to go. It's a little bit of a musical journey, and I think you'll know what I mean as you get into the episode. But it was really fun getting to know him. We had a lot of fun. And then I went and visited the shop. You'll hear us talk about the shop where you can go visit him. And I went with River the other day, and it was really cool. So anyway, let's get to it. Black on C-Bone. Away we go. So I just turned 50.
Right.
And I cannot keep the fucking pounds off anymore. I run a lot, right? And, you know, they say it's mostly like in the kitchen. But if you're running 30 miles a week, you can keep it. I used to be able to keep it off.
I eat late, though. So that's one of my problem. But the thing about it is, it ain't really trying to keep the pounds off. I think it's just if you can keep it at a minimum. So you won't get.
No, I know. But I don't. But I was like, I was down to like 173 or 175, which is like, that's skinny for me, but it's good. Right. 185, I'm okay, but now I'm close to 190, and you can fucking see it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, doesn't it, like, it bothers me.
It bothers me too sometimes. That's when, and when I see it like that, I was like, okay, I'm going hard for this.
Right. Well, like, 2-3 weeks. Like, if I see a picture, and again, it's like, as dudes, you know, like, we don't care. Like, women are always worried about their looking pictures. I never cared.
But if you see yourself.
Now, all I look for is I'll see, like, is my bald spot in there? Or can you see, like, any of this going on?
They call them dad bods.
Right.
Right. Ain't right. No wrong with a dad bod.
Did you play sports growing up?
I played baseball and football.
Right.
Right.
And what high school? What high school?
Banneker High School.
Okay.
In College Park, and I finished high school in Dallas, Texas, called Burton High School in 12th grade.
Why did you go out there?
I got a little mischief around here in Atlanta, so I had to relocate for a while.
So was it like a stay out of jail thing, or just like your parents
basically. I had actually got locked up. I had got locked up, and I was turning 17, and I had got locked up previously, and the judge told he didn't want to see me no more. So I actually had to go out of town, and my dad actually went to court for me. It was like, he's not here. I sent him out of town.
Oh, okay.
Something to that nature. And I supposed to stay a year, but I ended up staying four years.
Right. I don't think you can do that anymore.
No. No, they have a warrant. I don't know how it worked out, but it worked out for them. It worked out in my favor.
I think now the way like all the systems are, like it used to be, you could get a ticket in another state and like it wouldn't even matter. Like if you weren't going back there, it didn't matter.
Right.
Like you could have a ticket in Maine and who cares? Yeah, man, but now it's all fucking.
It's gonna, they warrant. As long as their warrant go out, you don't pay for that ticket. Yeah.
So were you serious in sports? Did you think like that might be a future for me?
I was serious in sports. I was good. From let me just say, I was, as my homeboy make a joke, I was Little League All American. Okay. I was rec ball superstar. Actually, I played rec ball. I started off at Welcome All Park, what they called it was called Red Oak Park back then in College Park, Georgia. Okay. So I started playing football and baseball when I was 4 or 5 years old. So I played all the way up until high school. I played JV football. I stopped playing football at JV, and I stopped playing baseball at varsity, because the coach, one day we was laughing at everybody on the field one day, because, you know, I'm like kind of a jokester, so the people who couldn't hear the catch, me and a couple of my homeboys was laughing at everybody on the field, so the coach called us in one day, and he was like, you know, you three, you, y'all come here. I'm like, okay, he said, you guys are good players, but don't come back no more. So this truth.
What did you do?
We was laughing at the players, just say like you trying to say it was baseball trials, right?
Right.
We know we good, right? But we just so... We're not disrespectful, but I was saying it was. Now that I look back on it, it was disrespectful, but it was like playing, as in joning and joking with the other players. So the ones that was trying out couldn't catch. He dropped the ball.
Oh, okay.
We'll laugh.
It's hard not to laugh.
Right, but you don't do that in sports on the team. Though, you know what I'm saying? I know the difference. I know I'm wrong, but it was just at the time it was just funny.
I can't believe he could have been like, you know, what do they call it? Teaching moment? Like, hey. I know y'all are having a good time, but
and
hey,
it was good.
But right, but let's respect what we got going on. And what position in football?
Growing up, I was quarterback and running back, and I love to play defense.
Who did you watch? Like who were your guys when you were young that you wanted to emulate in football?
Ronnie Lott.
You really are my age.
Right.
Half this audience won't know who Ronnie Lott is. Look him up. 42, 49, number 42 for the 49ers.
Right, Ronnie Lott, Tony Dorsett. Shit, Mean Joe Green, like that's the era I grew up in. That's when I was idolizing football.
Right. No, me too. I used to be able to tell you every Super Bowl, every MVP, every score, and now that's all gone. But for a while, that's what I was as a kid.
I couldn't tell you, man. I actually been in three Super Bowls, so. And I can't even tell you the crazy part about you said I can't even remember the Super Bowls I went to. When I see it, I'm like, oh, I was there. And I went to one in Miami. I went two college football championships, one in Arizona, one in Georgia. And the last Super Bowl I went to, I took my dad, rest in peace. We went to the Super Bowl that was in Atlanta, the last Super Bowl that happened. Right. So, yeah, I played football. I was pretty good at football. And baseball, I was a pitcher, shortstop, second base. I can play any position in baseball, though. But to this day, I still play softball. So that's why you see, you know what I'm saying? That's why you see like I work out a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
You still play softball?
Absolutely.
Where at?
McCurry Park in Fayetteville. Yeah, a team, Fayetteville Methodist Baptist Church, is a team I found. I found the team actually working out in the park, running around the park, the track, and it was out there practicing. I joined the team. I've been on the team for like 4 years now.
Was singing or rapping anywhere in your life back then in high school?
No. But what was in my life back then was hustling. So I was always a hustler. So it was like I always had that mentality. So that's how actually the rapping even came about.
Because?
Of hustling and being around certain people and meeting certain people. And then you get in certain rooms and you get in certain atmospheres and you get the bug and you figure it out. Like, okay, they do this, I can do this. You know what I'm saying? Then you start trying it out. So I actually started rapping. I was like 21, 22 years old.
Yeah, I think it's hard, which is why I enjoy having these conversations, is I think people – a lot of people listening have this idea that, well, you must have started, you know, in your house or your garage or wherever, and then you tried to get a record deal. And like, that's not how it goes. Like I was talking to Fabo, same thing. He's like, right. I didn't want to, like, I was a singer, but I wasn't a rapper. And I right. just was hanging out with these guys and they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for you, do you need to get that or just turn it off? Or? So let's back up then. So like what year, were you hanging out with folks that had even started to kind of
96 95 96, to be truthful with you? When I started hanging out with Outkast, that's when I got the bug. I love music. I always loved music. I've been to the first Fresh Fest in Atlanta at the Omni with the Fat Boys, Run DMC. I was there. Jermaine Dupri, Houdini. I remember me and Jermaine, we grew up together, so I remember him. He used to dance with Houdini, him and Chad. So I was at those concerts. So I always loved music, and my mom always kept me in around music, right, around certain things. So I was always, I was a music guy. I freestyled a little bit, but, you know, everybody do that. You know what I'm saying? But once I got around Big and Dre and Mr. DJ was, me and Mr. DJ actually used to be Outkast's first DJ. We actually grew up together, went to Banneker High together. He used to make me mixtapes back in the day. So being around him, then I actually met Big and Dre. Being around those guys and watch how they create and see how the things you create and what it turns to into the world is like, I dig that. You know what I'm saying? You get the bug.
They call you second generation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Me, second generation, supposed to consist of me, Black on C-Bone, Killer Mike, just say Concrete, with Little Brother James, Super Nate, that was the group I was in. Sham Dunn, C Smooth, G Rock, Boulevard, Slim Calhoun, and I feel like I'm missing somebody, but I think I covered it up.
Okay, so.
And everybody appeared on the Dungeon Family's album. The only album Dungeon Family ever done, the second generation has the last song on
so,
it.
So Southern Playlistic was already out, are you saying, when you started hanging out?
Yeah.
Okay. And who kind of brought you in?
Mr. DJ.
Okay.
That's where I met Big Boy at.
And so they, so their first album was already out.
Yeah.
But I would still guess that they are still, that they would be pretty protective though, because everybody would want some of that, right?
Yeah, but I didn't come in as I want to do music. We didn't come in for that. We was hustlers. So hustlers and rappers, like, you know, it's always a thing. Not this day, not this generation of hustlers and rappers. Back then, hustlers and rappers was totally different.
Meaning what?
Meaning the rapper wanted to be the hustler. The hustler, like, I don't rap. That was the whole thing. Like, I don't do no rapping. I don't do that rap. You understand what I'm saying? So the hustler was here, but everybody still was on the same platform with each other. But the rapper wanted to be the hustler back then.
And now he does not.
No, now everybody just killer rappers now. It's like a whole different thing. Like, they ain't hustling. They don't hustle no more. You don't hear hustle music no more. You hear killer music now. Am I right or wrong?
You tell me.
I mean, you know this generation too. I don't hear hustler music though. Not from this generation. They call it drill rap, I think.
Drill?
Drill rap, like the King Von's and I guess the Young Thugs. They rap about killing. And, I don't know, but this generation does. Gang, they talking about guns and switches and killing and bodies and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like my generation, we talked about a body, but we said it in a whole different code and.
Right.
We didn't come over here and take, we didn't call to no name of nobody who just shot up last week. We didn't do that. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So.
What do you think about what just happened, by the way, with Miss
Fanny?
Yeah.
They call her Madam DA.
What do you think?
I mean, if you go, like my dad used to always tell me, if you do the crime, you're going to do the time. So you just got to be prepared. If you really did it, then she ain't doing nothing wrong. Because that's what, if you did it, I mean, you do the crime, people get paid to catch people who do crime. So if you did the crime and you rapped about it and you, I killed a dude 2 weeks ago at the Texaco and you really did it and you go put it on the wax, then, I mean, that's what you got to deal with. You know what I'm saying?
But is she the first person to do that, to come out and say?
I think the way she's doing it, yeah. Especially in Atlanta, because when we grew up, it wasn't no gangs. We didn't have gangs around here. It wasn't, like, we had groups, we had gangs, but we didn't have no. Gang. It's gangs now. You know what I'm saying? They're taking it real serious to their heart. They're really killing people and shooting up houses. But we had gangs, but it wasn't no Crips or no Bloods or nothing like that. Like neighborhood gangs, I guess. Like every city probably has those, but now it's really gang violence. So I guess she's just trying to clean up the city because it's getting really out of hand. No respect. You know, we start doing disrespectful things, then you got to clean it up, you know? So I'm not mad at her, honestly. So
you're hanging out. In this second generation, and then at some point, somebody just gives you a microphone?
I'll tell you the story. Me and my cousin Nat started rapping first. Super Nate, you find him on the Stank on the album. He called from jail one time.
Yeah.
What's up, my nigga? Another day, the same shit. Punk ass CEOs on a nigga dick. Got me up at 3 o'clock cooking there some grits. I'm a G from CP, I can't take this shit. Trying to hold a nigga down in this country ass town. I'm used to smoking chronic, moving pounds.
My cousin, so we started rapping first. We had a little group called Can, Corey and Nat. And I think we started on the karaoke. We was rapping on the karaoke, just practicing. And we started making mixtapes.
What were your favorite songs to do the karaoke to?
I think we're just using the karaoke machine.
Oh, this is a machine.
Yeah, so
just put beats in it?
Yeah, and just hear yourself rap over it. And then we get there, then we started making songs. Then I had a group called Concrete. In Concrete, I had another guy in Concrete, but he ended up going to federal prison. So when he went to federal prison, I changed group members, which I put Super Nate and Big Boy's brother and little brother James. So we became Concrete. But if you stop it before that, the first major song I ever got on was Gangsta Shit. So right. One night I was in the studio with Big Boy, and I had been rapping with I had a producer called Carl Moe. So I've been rapping about a good year and a half, but we had hits, like the Concrete, like we had hits, we strip club hits. We was like underground legends at the time. You know what I'm saying? So my producer that was working on all my beats actually brought Gangsta Shit, the beat, to Outkast. And he was actually the first producer to produce for Outkast besides Organized Noise or Dre or Big Boy. So he actually made history that day. And we was in the studio one night, and I had been rapping, and I was like, man, I'm getting on this album. Like, I'm making this album. Because I was on the album before, but it was for a skit. First time I got on the album was a skit. It was like the weed break on the album, like how much the plane ticket cost, something. Oski Woski, you remember that? That was my skit. That was the first time I got in the booth. So I was like, okay, I got the bug now. So I said, the next album y'all make, I'm making this album.
Right.
So we in Stank on it one night, and then we went to the Gentleman's Club. We came back, and we put the beat on. I was like, man, I'm making this album. I just started writing. I think I said something like, see, us Georgia boys in a trap like to stack the dough. And I think he was sitting on there. He was like, nah, he heard me. And Big was like, no. Say, like, dope boys in a trap like to stack the dough. And from there, it just...
In the South, nigga, we straight gangsta bands. Dope boys in the trap like to stack the dough. If he come around, can't get it, go. With a bunch of legit, I'ma let you know. Ryan Ridge real good, I don't national. This trap flow.
Too bad, she boozy bad.
It's natural.
Quick cheese in the stack.
Untaxable.
Fuck up on this, get mad.
Better watch myself, got eyes in the bag. Don't take no slap, you better get in the trap. If your front work out, gotta get it right back. I trap by day, while I rap by night. See, bone in this bitch, got it punch on time. You really wanna know about some next shit. You really wanna know about some next shit.
That many albums later?
That was 2011. What? Yeah. Wait a minute. What song is this?
Gangsta Shit on Stankonia.
Gangsta Shit is 1999?
2000, yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Where's the time gone, dude?
These real dope stories I'm telling, man. They call me Dope Story Corey for a reason. You understand me? Yeah, that's 99, 2000.
Which nickname came first?
Black on. C-Bone was first.
Right. Because your name's Corey.
Actually, I won a boning contest in school with my homeboy, so we would see who can bone the most women. So that's how I got the name C-Bone. So C-Bone from high school, no bullshit. And then Black On, I wrote a rap one time and said, so many success stories, they should call me Black On C-Bone, because I like, in the hustling world, I put a lot of people on. So I started calling myself, I'm like, I'm Black On, like I put you on, you know. So Dre heard it one day. On the bus, he heard the song I had did because it was on one of my verses, and he was like, "You know what? That's your name right there." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Black on C-Bone." I'm like, "It does." So from then on, it's been Black on C-Bone.
Who was keeping score on the who could bone the most? Was there a big board somewhere?
No, it was me, one of my partners named Lil Roy, my partner named Brian McCray, my partner named Mighty Maine. We all went to Banneker together, my Pointer Ridge crew. And we was off the chain, so we was just
going through everybody.
I ain't gonna say it like that, but you know, we was targeted. It was targeted.
This is a long time ago,
right? It was high school, bro. Right? High school day. So I actually earned the name of high school, stuck with me. My new name now is Dope Story Corey.
Right.
So
what about Inventory Corey?
Inventory Corey when I get to the shop. When I get to the pop-up shop apparel.
Because I really like that.
Yeah, Inventory Corey. When I step foot in the shop, I'm Inventory Corey.
Because nobody's ever had that name before. You know what I mean?
They haven't had Black on C-Bone. Somebody gave me the best rap name one day on Twitter. I don't know who it was. I appreciate you. It was like, this is the most unique name in rap. And they had my name. I was like, wow. Shed a tear. My dad actually told me I should change my name. He's like, man, maybe you should change your name. I was trying to get on in the rap world. He was like, he was thinking like, just say you're a white guy. I'm saying I'm Black on. He's no, I'm serious. He thought like, say if I came to try to get a job or something or try to get on with you,
right?
Rap, Black on might have offended you,
right?
But now what's so crazy about that? The word Black on is so popular.
It's everything now.
Come on, man. I'm ahead of my time, man. That's what I'm saying.
Clearly ahead of your time.
Right. So I had that name at least, what, 22, 23 years. So
when that song hits, right, it's gone from strip club hit to actual radio, right? Did you think, okay, now this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to be hustling. I'm supposed to be
absolutely
on records.
Absolutely. I remember the day I told myself, I think it was right down Peachtree Street, and Big had just got a check for $1 million. And I think he was telling me how they took the taxes out. And he was like, man, he was mad about the taxes. And I looked at the check, it was like $643,000. A check, man. I'm hustling. This ain't gonna never happen on this side. You know what I'm saying? Unless I go Big Meat to Scarface, then you know where they end up at. You get what I'm saying? So I'm like, which odds are better? I'm like, shit. I swear I went cold turkey. I cut all that shit out. I was turned into a real artist.
Was it difficult? Did people?
I mean, it was difficult paying bills sometimes, but you know.
I meant in terms of people from that world. Wanting you to come back or
because
you're gonna, I don't know, you know.
It ain't like the movies, like you can't get out the game.
That's kind of what I was saying.
It like the Godfather, like the OG gonna come to my house. No, I was my own boss. I'm black owned. So it ain't like I had to get out the game. Just like you just cut some stuff out. I say that. You if you're going full speed, you go slow and you go in the school zone speed, if that makes sense. You'll think about that later. You like that one,
no? No, I like that.
Yeah. So if you were going on if you was hustling going expressway speed, I toned it down to school zone speed. So I still might have, but I won. You know what I'm saying? I was studio rap. I was a rapper. You know, because you can't do both. It don't work.
And you know, you say it's hard to pay the bills sometime. What is when you're? Where's the money coming from when you're, like I said, you're releasing mixtapes? I mean, that's what I'm learning about interviewing all of y'all. It's like, There's all these people, like I'm talking to my boy, you know, Zach, the photographer, and he's like, Matt, I'm telling you, there's guys who had a record that was so huge, but for like a month,
right.
And then you never hear them again because They didn't cross over.
Right. Or they didn't, it's a business. This is a business. Like, I told a guy the other day, I was like, you know what? I said, it ain't about, you know how you hear some artists say, man, he took all my money. I didn't make no money. When you get in the record, if you get in the music business and they sign you, like you sign a record deal, say they sign me and you, they sign us, we're gonna make a hit, we go, we touring. That's where the money come from, first of all, on the road. So you're touring, but the thing about it is you don't know how to go get the streaming money, you don't know how to go get the sound exchange money, you don't know how to flash your ass cap stuff and do that. You gotta, it's ways you gotta know how to really eat in the music industry. And I learned that way. Like, I got on the computer one day and made sure all my ASCAP and BMIs, like, for the longest, I was getting writer's checks, ASCAP, but I was never getting publishing pub checks. And I was like, why I'm not getting publishing checks? Because I never put my fucking publishing. But you don't know these things because people don't teach you that. So that's when you say, man, I ain't getting no money. Like, I get royalty checks from Outkast. Like, and it may not be them checks, but they come like the lottery. Like, 20-some years, like, it's going to be this, that, that. It's going to be light bill gas money. You know what I'm saying? But they ain't going to stop coming.
Because they use it on a song or a commercial or a something, you get a piece of that.
They just use Kryptonite in P-Valley. Have you heard of that? The new gay stuff.
You can say gay. It's okay.
Well, the show they're saying is off the chain. I say that.
Right.
They're doing crazy stuff in there. So there's a show called P-Valley, but they use Kryptonite in P-Valley. So they
now, maybe I have recency bias. I don't know if you know what that is. Recency bias is like nowadays in sports, it's like, oh, he's the GOAT. That was the greatest. And it's like, let's wait a minute.
Right.
But watching you guys do Kryptonite the other night, I was like, I feel like this is like top five song, like it for the stuff that y'all are doing for Southern rap. Don't you think? Like, it's underrated.
And I'm trying to figure out. I want y'all to listen. I ask people, there, why is that song platinum? Like, where's our platinum plaque? Because the song it done grew bigger. It started here, and like me doing shows from around the world, like when it hits. It never fails. It haven't failed us yet, but it's a huge song.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I was caught up in it. I've been listening to it a lot lately, but I feel like it's underrated in those. Yeah, like,
I do too. Honestly.
I mean, and.
I know too, because we ain't got our plaque, so it's definitely underrated. Something ain't right. We need to check the numbers, man. I don't know what's going on.
And unfortunately, if you put it into the Google or the Spotify or whatever, a lot of times it's that 90s, the
throwback.
The white song.
Yeah, yeah.
Kryptonite, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Very different song. But that's what comes up. Because yours is Kryptonite, parentheses, I'm on it.
Oh, okay.
Do you not know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The other one.
I don't know the other one, though.
You don't know the other one? Mm-mm. I got to play it for you now. Trust me, you've heard it. Well, let's see what happens. Like, if I tell Siri, like, hey, Kryptonite. Hey, Siri, play Kryptonite.
Now playing Kryptonite by Three Doors Down on Apple Music.
See?
Yeah, I think I've seen it, but I never heard it.
You never heard this song?
Oh, keep playing. Sounds good, man.
You've never heard that song?
Uh-uh.
Now, it did say...
Whose song was out first? Ours or theirs? I think ours was out first.
No, no, this came out in, let's see when it came out.
Oh, so we stole it. We swagger jacked.
No, no, Kryptonite is like, you can't, but you can't, what's the word? You know, you can't copyright it, right? Otherwise, fucking people who, DC Comics would own it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
So Three Doors Down was officially serviced to radio on January 18th, 2000. Yeah. But when I say it, underneath it says, do you want to hear... Like, did you also maybe mean
Purple Ribbon,
Purple All Stars, blah blah blah? But
right.
I can't believe you never heard that song before.
Sounds good.
Oh, dude, you could do a mashup remix.
They might have done one already.
Yep, Three Doors Down. They're a very late '90s, early 2000s band.
That's a big group, though, right?
I mean, they're the kind of band that nowadays they're all touring together because nobody wants to see just them. But right. You get those.
If you get them, and them. I got you.
Right. So. I think, you know, so I'm as old as you are, and so I grew up on that first generation of rap too, right?
Mm-hmm.
LL, Houdini, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as we get older in the early 90s and Dr. Dre comes along and like, it's awesome. It's all awesome, right?
Right.
But I got to say, I had this experience, and again, it's like maybe it's this recency bias, but when I was at this show watching all y'all perform, right? And this is like home, right? East Point.
Right down the street. Screen, I see it.
And I'm watching y'all perform for these people, and I'm like, rap really is like, it's like the truest art form there is.
It's because I thought, at one time I thought rap was going to like fade out, and I had to think about it. I was like, you know, we grew up on this, so this is what we want to hear. Like, we're going to get 60, but we want to hear this. And it's going to like, y'all listen to that? Like, yeah, we want to hear this, because this is what we know. We don't know that. We don't know rock and roll. I mean, we know rock and roll. We know, you know, like blues, our parents, they like the Marvin Gaye's and the, I told Big Boy and Dre one time, I said, you guys, it was about 20, I said, boy, y'all gonna be just like Frankie Beverly. I said, watch, y'all gonna be able to do shows. And I don't think Dre could have seen, the vision. I think Dre's always saying, man, we're gonna be too old out here rapping and shit, man. We too old, you know what I'm saying? But Big Boy didn't take that approach. He still don't take that approach. Like, he raps like he's still 18 years old. So I'm just saying to say this, I think we're growing with the music, and it don't matter how old we get, we gonna like rap like you was out there enjoying it, and you're 50 years old. You see what I'm saying? So it's like you weren't like, what are they playing? But somebody that's 25 would look at you like, man, that man having a good time.
But everybody did. Everybody right. There of all ages
was having a good time.
Not just like there's a, put you this way, if you go to a concert, right? Like I've been to a lot of shows. And it might be some band that just has a bunch of radio hits, and you're singing all the words.
But you ain't having fun.
And you're not connecting in a way, but because rap comes from right here and is like real stories, and y'all name the streets and the hoods.
And they rap, they saying it with it like.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And you can't, like that's, you can't even put a price on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they're not selling out stadiums anymore, even if Outkast isn't selling out, you know, State Farm Arena anymore, it doesn't matter.
Right. They don't. They actually don't, because it's they ain't going nowhere. The Outkast music is not going nowhere. So it's like the Rolling Stones, like the Beatles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I get exactly what you're saying. It's here to stay. That, it was so crazy. I think that they haven't made another album, the legend is growing bigger, if that makes sense. I know people want another album, they want Outkast, but since it ain't, it's almost like these Jordans. They ain't coming out no more. Who can get them? Now the value goes up, because that's what it seemed like to me with the Outkast legends. Like, you know, I don't think they'll never put out another album again.
But that's mostly because of Andre, though, right?
I guess. It's guess because of both of them. I guess I say that they haven't come to an agreement to do one.
So for your musical career,
yes, sir.
You know, I see you're playing around here and there, and like you connect with these guys. I mean, it seems like there's always a lot of y'all kind of doing shows here and there. So is it just someone gets invited and someone goes, hey, well, let's just get everybody. Let's call Gip and let's call C-Bone. And
sometimes I guess what show we're doing and where we're at. Well, I used to tour with Big Boy. So I stopped touring with him about 8 years ago because I figured I was getting older and I got to set something in stone for myself. So that I stopped touring him and I invented the brand Dope Stories. So I actually, like the last 5 years, I've been investing my time into my brand. And that's a good question because I wasn't even thinking about music. And the first show I have done, not like the first show, I have done some spot dates with Big here and there, but the first show I actually done on my own was at Stank Hill the other day for Scotty ATL. He had a release party. So that was like the first show I've done on my own, like in shit, about 5 years. Because that wasn't really my focus no more. But I've been pulled back in, I guess.
It seems like it would be hard to get away from.
It is, but if you get frustrated and you're just trying to figure out, like, okay, I got to get something solid. Like I feel like Dope Story is solid, so I can actually build off my brand now. So if I do want to do some more music, I can do it through my brand, if that makes sense. It's because I got a foundation to stand on. You know what I'm saying?
So tell me how that the kind of creation of that happened.
Dope Stories?
Yes, sir.
So it actually happened reading stories on social media and not knowing what to put up under somebody's post. So I just started putting, instead of saying that's dope, I just started saying Dope Stories. So it started off as a hashtag, and I used the hashtag. If you go hit hashtag on Instagram, Dope Stories, it's about 10,000 posts, all of shit, 9,000 probably mine. So I used to hashtag people. Like, so you put someone, you tell a dope story, like something I like, I just put hashtag Dope Stories. And it went from that until, here we go again. My old manager named Orlando McGee, which is like the manager of Dungeon Family, or like the guy who put the Dungeon Family tour together. He called me in, what, it was like 2016. He was like, because that's when they had the Dungeon Family reunion tour. So I was privileged to perform on the Dungeon Family reunion tour. And he was like, we're having a pop-up shop. Here it is. This is my first time hearing the word pop-up shop. He said, we're having a pop-up shop, and you're allowed to put some merchandise in the pop-up shop. Do you have any merch? I know merchandise.
At the show?
At the Dungeon Family reunion, yeah.
So right. That was Lakewood, right?
Yeah, there you go. 2016. I think it was 2016. So I was like, pop-up shop? I'm like, what the hell is a pop-up shop? He's like, well, this is where you go in there, people put clothes in, and you set up a shop, and people buy your merchandise. I'm like, okay, so you got something? I'm like, no. So that day, I got the phone with him. I said, home, I thought about it. I said, you know what? Let me make me some shirts. So the guy that was doing all the ATL shirts, a guy named Kruvy Atlanta, called Kruvy ATL. He does all the East Point sweatshirts and the College Park, East Side. You see him, like, with the black and white. Everybody was wearing them at one time. I think they still wearing them. So long story short, I called him to ask him to make me a logo and ask him to print me 20 shirts up. And the rest is history. First pop-up shop, I sold 10 shirts. And I ain't looked back since. And now I own the pop-up shop. The pop-up shop apparel, 2459 Roosevelt Highway, College Park, Georgia, right down the street from here, Murphy Avenue. Yeah. So now I got a store called the Pop-Up Shop Apparel.
And how long has that been there?
We've been there 2 years. 2 years in November.
And is the goal to have a bunch of them?
Oh, that's a great question right now. The goal was not to sell your brand. The goal, honestly, I'm going to tell you, straight up quick. The goal in the beginning was not to sell your brand on the street, not mean at the Kroger, not mean like you're selling drugs. Like, I need to go find somewhere you can come buy the merchandise. So that was actually the goal. But I think we're going to open up a few more, but we just got to get our team just got to get a little more tighter then. I think we could expand then.
How often are you going to, or do you say, okay, like it says black owned or it says Dope Stories, right? So do you want to, I got to have more designs or more phrases or?
Well, I'm going to stay basic to my niche. What the next thing I'm going to put out next is I'm going to quote my own raps and put them out. So some of my bar, like gangster shit verse, I'm going to like, it's trappable, untaxable. Like, I'm going to make those shirts next. So I got like, on the low, I slick have 12 different designs already, but I don't do them like this, like that. I don't do like this. I see someone on the street a slogan, I'm not just gonna do no t-shirt like that. So mine gonna be like different. So I have like Dope Stories I made in Atlanta. I have College Park Dope Store. But what I do have, if you want to customize your shirt, I put your city and the dope store, anything you want on, so it can go be like Matt Dope Store. You get what I'm saying? Right. Atlanta Podcast Dope Stores. Like, I do it like that. And I do a lot of family reunion shirts, and I do like a lot of, you know, organizations. I just did recently the first graduating class of Banneker High School. I did all their shirts. It was like dope stores were made at Banneker High School. So I got other little ways I do it too.
Well, also, if you did like the limited release kind, like, hey, we're going to release this with this lyric or that lyric, and then they're going away, you could sell a shitload.
That's what I'm. That's, you just gave me the idea. That's what I'm doing with them. Appreciate it. But you know what, Chilio? You know Chilio?
Yeah,
Chilio used to do that. Yo, Chilio, like, I got 100 of them, 80 gone already.
Right.
Chilio used to sell the shit out to motherfuckers. So I'm going to do it like that. I appreciate that. Thanks for the game.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome.
That's how I'm going to do it, though. I promise you.
That's the way to do it.
And I'm going to give you one.
I would love one. I like to represent Atlanta or Georgia everywhere I go. Okay. So because it's on brand for my show, but also it's because I'm proud to be here. Right. So I was telling person the – first of all, I always want to shout out Create ATL, this awesome space we're in. You know, I was born in Boston, but I grew up here, which honestly is very common. You find a lot of people that aren't from here.
But they've been here since
right.
High school. We give them y'all passes. Well, I've been here since I was 12. Like, okay, you're a Georgia boy. You're
right.
Georgia
boy. So I left, but it was leaving. I went to Boston and then L.A., and it was in leaving that I knew, like, oh, I want to raise my family here. I don't want to raise my kids in fucking Los Angeles.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So now coming back here.
Did you go to high school here?
Yeah, I went to Wheeler High School, Cobb County.
Okay, fair, all right.
We got really good at basketball after I left.
That's where
Sharif Abdul-Rahim went. So we were a football school.
Yeah.
We were like, fuck, like all about football.
Right.
Basketball was like, eh. And then they redistricted it. So we got all those Marietta boys, right. And then boom, now we were good.
Mayretta.
Right, we got the Mayretta.
Y'all got the Mayretta boys.
So Sharif and, dude, you know he's president of the G League now?
That's dope.
I want to get him on the show. Yeah, he's like played in the NBA 20 years. Now he's president of the G League. I think he has a younger brother that I think went there. But anyway, that's where I grew up.
Right, that's dope.
And, you know, when I grew up, Atlanta was very different. Like people from the burbs, like never, like nobody lived down here. You know what I mean?
I mean, y'all did.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right, I get what you're saying. Nobody went in the city living, right? Y'all would never have an office right here.
You went to a Braves game.
Right, and come back home.
Or a concert at the Omni.
Right.
And
I get what you're saying. Trust me. I know exactly what you're saying.
So Atlanta is very...
What do they call it? Ginger. It's ginger.
Gentrification?
Yeah.
But it's also like these neighborhoods have all popped up. And I just think it's awesome because we weren't really a city before. Like Atlanta, like... We still don't have a downtown, and that's fine. We kind of never will. Like,
you're making sense. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like it's a real city now. It was separate. Like back in the day, like you stay here, you stay there. Everybody stay, but now it's like everybody's just everywhere.
Right.
Right.
Like there wasn't even brown people. There was just black and white. Like we didn't even have Spanish people when I grew. Like you remember?
We didn't have no Spanish people.
And now they're everywhere.
If you had a Spanish person, everybody in the school knew who that person was. Like everybody. Now you're right. Though. We didn't know about Mexicans back then. And now, shit, Gwinnett County is a whole new population up there.
Right. So with the store, I feel like you could also do really well online too, though.
MyDopeStores.com. MyDopeStores.com. We online right now. MyDopeStores.com. Well, I was doing really good online, but I did a bad business move. I switched my online. I switched my website up and try to get a more fancier website, and actually, it's less traffic. So I don't know. I gotta go back and revamp it, but it's still up and live. It's running mydopestore.com right now. Go.
So when you think you got less traffic? I don't think that's.
It is because I'm making less money. To say that, so you know, I used to make a little decent money every week online. Now I guess because it might be more difficult to shop. I just got to figure it out.
Okay,
but it's still up and running. It's live right now.
No, of course, because once upon a time you had a shop, you had to be at the shop 24/7. So it's nice to like not have to do that. Just have somebody ship them out for you.
Yeah, but you know me, I'm really a one man band.
Nobody works in the shop with you.
We have people in there. But we have like people, they like own individual owners. So everybody pay their own rent, but they own their own booth.
Okay.
But they don't, a lot of people, they come every now and then, but I come a lot because for me not going, I miss out on sales. But man, you got to come to the shop and check us out.
No, I definitely will. I want to buy a shirt.
Yeah, you got to come check us out. Saturdays we live from 1 to 7 p.m. We usually have a barbecue man on the grill. We used to have a DJ. All depends on what they're doing. If they're like, sometimes they've been busy lately, so
right.
They've not been.
But like, during the, I can bring my kids. It's like that, yeah, kind of atmosphere.
Oh, it's kid friendly. Yeah. Oh yeah. Plenty of kids come to there.
1 to 7.
1 to 7 p.m. on Saturdays. 2459 Roosevelt Highway. Catapult.
Let's see how far is that from here? 2459. How far is that from here?
I'll say 12 minutes if I'm good.
All right, let's have a peek here.
If I'm good,
2459
Roosevelt Highway.
7.5 miles from where we sit. 18 minutes.
Okay, we're close.
Next to Mad Hair Design Salon, Airport Executive Park, Gallery Furniture Warehouse.
The Wolfman. If y'all know about the Wolfman on Roosevelt, you remember Wolfman?
Of course. Donna? Hey, ask for the Wolfman.
Ask for the Wolfman. Don't ask for Donna. Hey, ask for the Wolfman. I do that on my commercials when I do commercials for the shop. I tell them, don't ask for the Wolfman. Ask for Dope Story Core. That's where I get it from. People don't know it, though. But, yeah.
Is he still alive? Is the Wolfman still alive? So. Or Donna?
He responded to me one day from his shop and gave me a shout-out, but... I don't know if it was him. I don't know who it was, but if he's still alive, that'd be real crazy.
So week to week these days, it's mostly the shop. It's music if they ask you, is what you're saying.
It's mostly the brand shop. Mm-hmm. But I'm 90% back in. I think I'm just gonna do me an album because I got songs. I got so many songs, like just songs, man. I got like thousands of songs, and I listened to them. And I was like, man, shit sounds good as hell. Like I got mixtapes. I did Cut the Check mixtape. I got The Strong Pack. I got United Streets of America. So I got mixtapes out that I have done. Like I've done a lot of music, but I think the flaw that we had, we was real street rappers when street rappers weren't really accepted then. And we was coming up under the Outkast brand. And how I look at it now, because I'm older, how I look back on it, I think because we was coming under the Outkast brand, we wasn't got then. Like we wasn't understood at the time. Right now, the music we're doing, the music they're doing now, we've been done that music. Like we got some nice songs. We got dope songs. Like on the Purple Ribbon album, we got a song called Shit Your Draws. You can't fuck with me because you ain't got the heart. I'll snatch your ass. I'll snatch your heart. You can't fuck with me because you ain't got the balls. I'll snatch your heart out and make you shit in your drawers, punk bitch. Like we were doing shit like that back, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a hook. And we got a song called Lovingness, in which Pooh Bear on the hook. And Pooh Bear right now is a multi-millionaire producer. He's, what's his name?
Where does he live?
Vegas now, I think. Hollywood.
Rich white guys, a lot of those.
No, my man, though. I think Scooter Braun is manager. I can't think of that nigga. I went mind blank. Beaver, Justin Beaver. He's Justin Beaver, right?
Rich white guy. He says, I was like, Arthur Blank?
Yeah,
I don't know who you meant.
Of us, right?
Justin right. Beaver.
Right. But yeah, Justin Bieber, he's Justin Bieber producing that. But we got a lot of the songs on the Purple Ribbon album. Like Concrete had a lot of nice songs. So I think I'm going to go back and just either I'm going to probably do some fresh songs too. But I think I'm going to do like take four or five old songs that has never been put out there in the world.
Well, can't you align yourself with a producer and say, listen, we got to get these out on Spotify, whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
The problem is I just got to remember the producers of some of these songs, you know? Like, who produced this? Like, damn, like, who gave me this beat? But if I put it out and it blows, they'll find out. Right. They will come to call it.
But is that how it would work? You would just, like, hire someone to kind of like, hey, let's make this happen, and I got all these songs. And
I think so, yeah. And just get a streamer, go through one of the streaming companies.
Yeah.
And go get a streamer.
Or all of them.
Yeah. Because the song I got out with the College Park song, I put that one out on. I uploaded that one myself. It made me a couple of dollars, too. The one featuring Jermaine Dupri.
Right.
Yeah, the one you were asking about.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a good song, dude.
Yeah, I love that song. God said, welcome all. R.I.P. to Shannon Mall. In College Park, we love them all. Name song, we done did it all. But I've said crystals. Skate time with pistols. Riding down old National. My Kush man from Red Oak. What's right in Camelot? Chief, let's put out. I'm at throwbacks with my cousin there. Trying to see what it's need. I think it could have did better. But at the time, I couldn't get JD to do the video. I wanted him to, but I don't think I had the right tools to get him to lock him in to do the video.
Right.
But I think I could get him to do the video now, though. I might revisit that. It would be right. It'd be right on time.
Well, it's also, I feel like because Atlanta, we're riding this whole, like, let's call it like second wave, right? Mm-hmm. Of all, like, Atlanta being kind of the shit.
Right.
And so you got a song called College Park, right?
Right.
Don't you think that's like,
Right.
Y'all are from College Park.
And right. Well, he gave me a note. His verse he put on College Park was a hell of a verse, though. I ain't going to lie to you. But I'm just saying, I got to get my shit together. So, like, you know, he's a big-time star. So when I want to shoot the video, I need to have my shit together for him.
Right.
That's what I think. But I might sit down with him and see if he spent some of that money. I mean, these are really the handhelds. We can make it happen now. But nah, I'm going to sit down with him and see, can we really get some good camera work and find us a good team, try to put a treatment together.
Yeah, you work with Motion Family?
Yeah.
I just talked to David yesterday.
Yeah, they cool people. I fuck with them.
He's a very laid back dude.
Tell David I might need him. Hey, David, I got this video with Jermaine Dupri. Let's see if we make it happen. College Park. No, tell him I might need him.
Okay.
If you know him. That's how it worked, though. That's how I landed.
Yeah, we call him right after this. I just met him through, I met him through Zach the photographer, Zach Wolf.
Yeah.
And that's how I know New Face is through Zach.
Yeah, New Face was there. Is he outside?
He's going to love
you. New Face done blew up like a motherfucker, though, man. That shit funny as hell.
Isn't that awesome for him, though?
Yeah, I love it, though. I fuck with New Face. I ain't bullshit. What's up, Larry? Yeah, I fuck with New Face. He's good people, though. Let's go.
All right, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
My go-to order at the Waffle House is the All-Star. In my hood, they call it the All-Star motherfucker. I don't want no waffle, though. I don't like the waffle. I don't like the waffle. I want scrambled eggs. I want bacon. I want grits. I want buttered toast. And either waffle, if I feel like it, or hash brown. And I need that cherry Sprite motherfucker. Bam. In a to-go cup, because I don't drink out the motherfucking cup.
What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
My current favorite place to eat in Atlanta is Annie Lars on Highway 85. Them big wings, them jumbo wings. Macaroni, cheese, candy yams, and cornbread. Andy Lars on 85, y'all owe me. I just gave y'all a shout out. Bam.
Publix or Kroger?
Food Depot. hold on. I got to answer for that, dog. I'm glad you answered that. Kroger Bougie. Publix Bougie, Kroger Lil Hood, and Food Depot, they call it Real Hood. But you got to go to one in Fed County, though. But I go to Publix for, crab dip, other stuff. I go to Kroger for, my shrimp. My catfish, my seafood, and I go to Food Depot for my other stuff. So, did I answer that question right?
That's perfect. Phenomenal. Remember, this is the Atlanta Favorites Quiz. There's no wrong answers. There's zero wrong answers. Complete this sentence. Black owned C-Bone.
Let's go.
I take Marta blank.
I took Marta to the Five Point Station when I was a young kid at the age of 15. And I've never rode Marta since then. I took Marta to the Collin Park train station. From the Collin Park train station, we ride to the Five Point Station, get off and go to Walters, get fresh, get back on the train, come back to do the same thing, go back to Banneker, fresh from Walters. That's how I used to ride the train back in the day. 11th grade, my 10th, 11th grade. I did that every other morning. That was just me. So that means I ain't go to school till noon?
That's why they sent you out to Texas.
You about right. It was adding up. That was one of them. You keep on, goddamn. You keep on. And just add it up.
All right. Rank the Atlanta sports teams in order of importance to you. Braves, Hawks, Falcons, United.
Bird Gang number one. If y'all don't know who that is, you ain't from Atlanta. Braves number two. Shit. Oh, United number two. What was the other one?
Hawks.
United might have. No, Hawks 3, then United.
Okay.
But Braves really on top because we got that ring. We got that ring. So actually, the Braves on top, but the Bird Gang, because I love Falcons. So Braves and Falcons about the same. Then Hawks, then United. But United is picking up because it's bringing a lot of money to the city and people really like going to those games. I haven't been to one yet, so I might be, like you said, I might be a little biased.
You haven't been in the new stadium yet for the Falcons?
No, yeah. I've not been to a United game. I've never been to a United game.
Right. Everybody tells me I should go. I'm not really a soccer guy either.
It says lit.
What is the best show you've ever been to in Atlanta?
Ooh, shit. I'm gonna give my boy a shout out. RIP Bankroll Fresh. Bankroll, 2 Chainz. I think it was Street of Zex did one about right before Bankroll got killed. And I just love Bankroll Fresh, you know what I'm saying? No homo. I like this energy. And I actually went to the show. I said, I got to go see Bankroll perform. He put on a hell of a show. They had the ski mask. He was doing his dance. It was just, that ain't the best show. I can say the Fresh is my best show, but I'm going to give a shout out to Bankroll. And that was one of my memorable shows. the Bankroll Fresh show, the Street Exec show. I think it was at King Plow or some shit. One of these little concerts. Oh, that was a good-ass show, though. R.I.P. Bankroll.
What about festivals? Do you have a favorite festival in Atlanta?
Auburn Fest. Sweet Auburn Festival. I like the Sweet Auburn Fest. I guess the new one is the One Music Fest, so that's taking over.
So I'm not sure. Can we count that? That's more just like a concert. I don't know if you can count that.
Sweet Auburn Festival. Or the Jazz Fest. We give a shout-out to the Jazz Fest, too.
Let me pull up. I'm going to add a few more here. Do you watch the television show Atlanta?
Absolutely not. I don't. I just don't. I have never watched it.
It's a really good show.
I heard.
How can you not watch that show? It's so good.
And I heard, what's the other one that's come something like that show? It blew up, too. This is a nice show. I haven't watched. What's the other show?
P-Valley?
Hell nah. It's kind of like Atlanta.
There's nothing like Atlanta. It's the most unique show we have. I was going to ask you your favorite character from that show, but you don't watch the show. So.
No, I watched it. Maybe I need to go binge watch and watch it.
What have you binged lately?
You don't want to know. All I watch is Spanish movies now. I've been watching El Chapo. I've been watching, what's my main name? Pablo. Pablo Escobar. I've been watching all the Pablo Escobars. Now
Narcos, like that stuff?
No, the real Pablo Escobar. Pablo Escobar series, the Pablo Escobar on Netflix.
No, that's Narcos. That first season of Narcos was that all about him.
Okay, well, yeah.
And, like, all the memes have come out of him, like, looking lonely and stuff.
Yeah, so I watched that. Now I'm on Snitch Cartel or something, the original Cartel, watching Cali Cartel. So my son makes fun of me, like, Dad, you don't know how to speak Spanish by now? So I'll be sitting there like, blah, 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 blah. I can't speak a lick of Spanish, but I watch all the shit. So that's what I've been binging on. But I binge on Breaking Bad and... what's the other one? Ozark, shit like that. I watch shit like that.
Did you watch Better Call Saul?
Love it.
Just finished.
Love it.
What do you think about the end of the series?
The nuke.
He gets caught. The very caught. Very end. Yeah. Maybe you haven't seen the last episode.
Oh no. He get caught, and is he still out there? The cookie company where he's working at. The cinnamon bun.
No, he's not there. He gets caught, and they kind of like bring it all home.
Okay, I might. I gotta remember though. That's okay. I watch it though. I love it though. I like Saul. It's a movie they got out too. It's called I can't think of the name, but it's a movie from that whole little thing too, from the Breaking
El Camino.
Breaking Bad. You know, okay, you know, you hip. We the same age. You watch this shit too. Yeah, El Camino.
Do you, so for me and my wife, we watch like, you know, we try to get the kids dinner or whatever, then we try to watch like maybe one show, and then something we can actually watch together. She watches a bunch of shit I don't care about and vice versa.
Right.
Right. Like I'll watch a bunch of 20-minute YouTube videos, but she doesn't, you know what I mean? So then I watch my stuff, and then we try to find like a lot of those like British murder mysteries. That's the kind of shit we watch together. You watch any of those?
British Murder.
They're all kind of the same, but really good.
I'm not watching Netflix. I'm watching First 48. I'm watching the ID channel. Anything on the motherfucking ID channel. No, I once wanted to be a detective growing up.
Yeah.
But I was too, you know what I'm saying? So that wasn't going to work.
So my neighbor just told me that there was a First 48 on my street, but I haven't found the episode. I live off of Stanton, off of Campbellton. Off Leslie Avenue, and apparently, like, this innocent woman got shot, and it was it was bad news, but it was a long time ago, so.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. I remember every episode. You see me going through it, I'm like, but I remember off cameras, it was like a fake gang member got killed over the car wash.
This was the woman coming home from the airport, or she worked at Amazon, she was picking up a friend, but the car looked like a gang member. They found the dudes, and they're all.
Oh, they shot at the gas station, and it was at the gas station. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know the story. They pulled up in the gas station. And the dudes thought it was a gang member, and they shot the car up. And the dude, it was a dude driving, it was a boyfriend driving the car. They just went to go get, like, cigarettes or something at the store, I think.
And anyway, these dudes all went away for, like, 20 years.
Huh?
They caught them all, like, a year later, I think.
Yeah, it was some blood gang members, I think.
But you said it's interesting because you said we didn't have gangs. I thought, like, growing up, they at least made it seem like we did.
We didn't have no gang. We had Down by Law, ABC, Straight Cat Preps. I mean, we had those type of gangs, but we didn't have Crips. We're no Crips and Blood. Crips and Bloods probably hit to year 2000. That's when the shit started getting serious. 2010, it started getting real serious. And now it's full-blown AIDS. You know what I'm saying? Shit off the chain. Like, these boys, you see what Fannie Willis doing. You know what she doing.
The last question I always ask is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Atlanta podcast, I'm going to plug my boy King Henry Welch, the most feared man in comedy. You should do Henry Welch. He's a comedy. We got a special coming out on YouTube called I'm Booked from the A to the A. Executive produced by Corey Black on C-Bone, TF Ford, King Henry Welch, and Star. It's coming out very soon on Tubi. We're doing all the, we're finishing out of the stuff we need to finish, the paperwork, but it's coming out.
I just met that dude. He had a shirt that says, I'm booked.
Yeah, that's my guy.
All right, introduce me to your guy.
I got you. Say less.
All right, well, thanks for coming to the brand new, amazing studio.
Appreciate the big studio, man. You're going to be big time. See, we're overlooking Atlanta. It's a nice view.
Just be honest. You don't have to lie to the listener. We're tucked away here on Adair Park.
But you know what's crazy? When I put it on, I said, this is a dope spot, though. Creative ATL. Shout out to you again. Pay my man Matt for having a real ATL alien up in this bitch. You feel me?
I'm going to send that to my mom.
Y'all can find me Black on C-Bone at Instagram, Black on C-Bone, Facebook, Corey Black on C-Bone, Andrews, Pop-Up Shop Apparel, at My Dope Stores, and MyDopeStores.com, and Black on the Gmail. Y'all want to find me, that's me. You see.
How often you check that Gmail?
Every day.
How often during the day? How many times a day?
My email is important to me. That's a valuable tool in my life, so I have to check my email. I get my credit score, I get this score, I get FedEx reports, I get all kind of shit in my email. So I got 11,000 emails. I need to erase some of them motherfuckers. That's my phone jammed up.
All right. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Appreciate it, bro.
And there you have it. Dope Story Corey, Inventory Corey, Black Own C-Bone. Please do go check him out. 2459 Roosevelt Highway, College Park, Georgia, 30317. And if you want to meet the man himself, he's down there Saturdays from 1 to 7. Don't be frightened. That little, it comes up quickly. All right. That Roosevelt Highway, like, there's a little turn off. It comes up quick, and then it looks like a big old shopping center that used to be a bigger shopping center. Go to the corner there. He'll see you before you see him. But go check out Black Old C-Bone on Roosevelt Highway in College Park. No, they're not going to use me for the song. But anyhow, thank you for listening. Thank you so, so much. We've got some great episodes coming up, including the one and only David K.A., the one and only Renee Brown, the one and only Gip Goody, who I had on, who I spoke to this week. So please stay tuned for more episodes. Love you. Miss you. Mean it. I've got to run.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.